When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You told her to kill me.
Yes. But here you are. And there she is. Finally, a girl is no one.
A girl is Arya Stark of Winterfell. And I'm going home.
Hey, Throners, welcome to our podcast. I'm Mr. Blog.
And I'm Grace.
And I'm Jen.
And this is Game of Microphones, episode 24. And I'm sure all of you are wondering, what the hell is Mr. Blog doing back on here? Where is Jason?
Wait, where did you come from?
Yeah, I know. Well, I snuck in through the back door.
He's been resurrected Jon Snow.
Well, and yeah, and I did, you know, like the waif, I went ahead and stabbed Jason in the belly a few times and pushed him off of a bridge. No, that is not what happened in any way, shape, or form. Jason could not be here this week. He does have a personal matter that he's attending to this week. I was asked to go ahead and step back in. And wow, I'm, you know, honestly really glad to be here. This should be a lot of fun. Thank you, Jason, for that. And also, our thoughts are with you for what you got going on. I'll let him explain that next week if he so desires. But I am joined this week with, first of all, my co-host and bestest friend of all time, Grace from Under the Comic Covers. How you doing today?
I'm doing just dandy. Thank you.
Fantastic. And of course, we are also joined by Jen.
Hello.
I don't know quite how to put any kind of title for you, but Jen is a friend of the show, The Walking Dead cast, for quite a while.
Yes.
She has helped Jason organize things like the fan meetups down in San Diego for a couple of two different years in a row. I met you, as we were talking about before we got started, about 3 years ago now. And whenever we head down to San Diego for Comic-Con, it is always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, it's the only time I get to see you guys, so it's good stuff.
And I think you've also been on the Walking Dead cast once before.
Yes.
As well, right?
Oh my gosh, that's right. I don't mean to divert, but yeah, Jason asked me to help him interview Norman Reedus.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And oh my gosh, I was so nervous, but that was so much fun.
As anyone,
are you breathing
would be
on your nails now? Polishing the nails, right? It's like, oh, I got to chat with you know, some guy.
I want to say I did
Norman
that from
something.
Work too. I had to step away from my desk and take the phone call.
So funny.
Very
good.
Cool.
I think we should call Jen by her full name, Genevieve. It sounds much more royal and, you know, fitting for Game of Thrones.
Yes, from House Jacobs. That
works. Princess Genevieve and Princess Grace, my ladies.
Yes. Sure.
Right on. Well, thank you guys for being here. We've got an amazing episode today to talk about season 6, episode 8, No One. Wow.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and just start talking about it? We got all the introductions out of the way. What did you guys think about this episode? Grace, why don't you start it off there?
Me first? Okay. I thought it was a good episode, but my expectations were set a little high, I have to think. So I was a little bit disappointed. But, you know, it was a good episode, but yeah, I was expecting more, I have to say.
Yeah. Jen?
Yeah. I felt the same way, actually. After last week's episode, I was hoping more questions would be answered, but there were a couple good points. But yeah, I was a little underwhelmed. I had to really watch the show once and then pause and then rewind and try and figure out, did I miss something? Because I felt there was a lot of explaining, just talk, yeah. a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm. And some of those conversations were very cryptic.
Yes.
Where we're left going, look, what is that? What are they talking about there? And where, how did this... I feel very similar to both of you guys. I was, I think underwhelmed is maybe one of the best phrases I'd say for this episode. It seemed to have a lot of things going on, a lot of pieces being moved, but some of the way it happened fell a little flat for me, where I'm like, really? That's it? Really? That's. We'll get to that.
Yes, we'll get to that.
So this week we are going to do a top three because there are three of us instead of top five. So why don't we go ahead and kick into our top three highlights of Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 8. No one, Jen, start us off, please.
Okay, I am coming from left field completely and with my number three, which is jokes.
Nice.
And because this episode was, again, so underwhelming, I felt that the jokes scene between Tyrion and Grey Worm and Missandei, it just kind of lightened the episode for me. Because there was just so much, as I mentioned, conversation and cryptic messages. I felt when they got to this scene, I'm like, oh, you know, it made me smile. It made me laugh. A lot of people feel that, you know, when they have those awkward scenes between Tyrion and Missandei and Grey Worm, it's unnecessary. And I feel it's totally necessary. It just made me laugh. I loved when Tyrion was talking about his wine and how he wants to have a vineyard, and that gave you a peek into his personality, his soft side, that he probably wishes that, you know, this all wasn't going on, and he only dreams of growing his own grapes to make wine and drink it with his special friends.
I think what he meant by that is basically drink alone.
Yeah.
Oh, he just wants to get drunk all the time. Because really,
I love Tyrion. He's one of my favorite. Yeah. But when Missandei was telling her joke about the translator, and then Grey Worm says in his accent, "That is the worst joke I ever heard."
Yeah.
I make joke.
Yeah, that wine seemed to hit Missandei pretty quickly too.
She's a lightweight.
She must be, because she was getting a little giggly after like three sips. I'm like, wow, look at that. That worked. They must have some special wine there.
And I totally get. I mean, yeah, some people might think it's filler, but it kind of worked going into the next scene, which was, you know, the slavers arrive.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't think of any other way that the writers could have segued into that other than a scene between Tyrion, Grey Worm, and Missandei. But I like those three. It's awkward. I love awkward moments.
Well, and his smile at Missandei when she was laughing was, I think, worth all the awkwardness that we had to watch, you know, Tyrion going through. It was so cute.
You know, it's funny. I did like that scene as well, but I have been so disappointed with Tyrion's role throughout this entire season.
Yeah.
You know, it feels so stunted.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels sort of like, No. He's got so much more to offer. We need to, but you know, that's just the position he's in right now. I get that. Mm-hmm. It is this difficult thing going on in Meereen where, yeah, he's stuck, you know. Now Grey Worm, I do find him to be an infinitely likable character for as stoic as he is. I did like his, you know, it's jokes or the way he said it. It was really cute. It was funny. And it was a nice moment of levity in the show that, well, needs some levity every so often.
Yes, especially this show.
Well, and it was even a little bit of a reminder of that bizarre romance going on between Grey Worm and Missandei.
Yeah, I love that.
It's been almost absent this season. So yeah, it was kind of nice to see a little bit of a hint of that again. Although to say the Meereen storyline has been dealt with a little clunkily this season is maybe a bit of an understatement. But
yeah, I agree.
But that was a nice one. Jokes.
I've never been too wowed by the Meereen the storyline.
No,
actually, it's, you know, it's a hard one to watch. And so, yeah, I mean, I think actually, with you guys, where this was having a little levity to it made me almost like it a little bit more, because I'm kind of like, oh God, were you a Marine again? sometimes, because I it tends to bore me much of the time. But I don't know, and it was interesting, and you're talking about Tyrion and how did you put it, but that his potential, there are stunted, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, it shows the differences between this and Westeros when he was Hand of the King, and, you know, he doesn't know Meereen. He doesn't know this place. He knew Westeros, and he knew what he was doing, and King's Landing and all that, and I think he had a better grip on things, and where I think here he does. He adds a huge amount of value, but I think he's kind of underestimating, or he doesn't really have as much of a grip on the situation.
Yeah, and I think these awkward, funny scenes, it's a peek into his personality of how he deals with not being familiar with the situation, just like you pointed out, Grace. Because if I think back to the Battle of Blackwater, where he was basically running the show, he was telling Joffrey what was going to happen. And then you look at him now, and he just kind of drinks. He drinks and walks around with Varys and has discussions because he knows things.
Well, you know,
he drinks wine and knows things.
I was actually very happy to see him drinking and getting drunk again. And to me, that, again, the lighter side of Tyrion, which we have not seen in a very long time. And then even a great callback to season one was having him bring up the honeycomb and donkey story, which we have never heard the end of.
We still don't know.
No, we always get the beginning of this joke, but we never get to hear the end. So I love that. It was a great little tease, but also, as you just pointed out about the difficulties he's having in Essos, it is... Everybody is a product of their culture, and what's fascinating, I was thinking about this when we were watching it last night, about how comedies, let's say movies, comedies do not do well overseas, because humor generally does not translate well across cultures.
Sure.
Humor is a very culturally specific sort of thing, right? And I love that they used that last night in the episode where Tyrion tells his joke, but it's not funny unless you're from Westeros. I mean, right. And even that was really funny, because that played around with the very, it was actually a very English sort of a joke, because it's making fun of the Scottish for being very cheap, and the Northerners, you know, everybody in the North being more or less a stand-in for Scotland in many ways, where he pulls out the fly and he says, "Spit it out, you wee bastard," or whatever he says. basically saying, "You drank some of my beer, get it, you know, spit it out." I thought it was pretty funny, but I can understand if you have no idea what a Stark is, or a Lannister, or a Martell, that makes no sense at all. But it was good, to show him very much out of his element at every step along the way here. Even going back to what, the first or second episode of this season, where he's trying to help that woman with the starving child and give it some money. He's like, "Oh no, she thinks you want to eat her baby," you know, that was totally out of element. So well done. Number three, jokes. I love it.
Jokes.
Grace, what is your number three?
Okay, my number three is coming to terms with who you are. And I think on this one, kind of, I was kind of mostly focused on Arya and the Hound. And, you know, for a while now, they've sort of been denying who they are. I mean, Beric Dondarrion even said so much to the Hound. You know, he said, "You know, you're a fighter, you were born a fighter, you walked away from the fight. Tell me, how did that go?" Well, you know, that didn't go so well. And he's been trying to deny himself as much as Arya has, and now it's kind of like we have them back. And how joyous was it to get both of them back in the same episode? Arya with "A girl is a Stark of Winterfell, and I'm going home" was just as much of a moment as Sandor, I think, you know, taking the axe to the guy's head in lots of other places.
Oh my goodness!
Like, yes. She was owning who she was as much as the Hound was, but in a very, very different way. And I don't know. So to me, that was just delightful to see. And, you know, I put it as my number three, but, you know, it could go anywhere, really.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last week, a couple people on Facebook mentioned that I was probably very excited about the return of Sandor Clegane, and oh my God, they cannot be more correct on that.
Yeah, you were the first person I thought of when he came out on.
I was so happy to see Sandor back because he is one of those characters that I find to be infinitely fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they are monstrous in so many different ways. I mean, this is also how I feel about Jaime. There are certain characters I really love, and they are not necessarily the heroes of the story. But I also don't find them to be the villains. They are the ones that are kind of in between. Maybe villains with a heroic streak somewhere in there. I don't know what it is. I don't think that's Sandor either. He's just very much his own man. And, you know, I still believe the Hound is dead. Long live the Hound. But that is Sandor Clegane now and not the Hound. But I may be proven very wrong on that because we definitely did see massive shades of the Hound in that. But then as far as Arya is concerned, that was a great moment of her finally giving up this notion that she is no one, because she is not no one. What did you think of, this is a question for both of you, what did you think of Jaqen's response to that?
Well,
because he gave a little smile.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that, I heard, but to me, he didn't want to admit her to the House of Black and White in the first place. He always knew she didn't belong. And so I was fine with it. I was glad that he was proud of her. But I think other people had issues. So if you did, yeah. I want to hear about it because I'm a little confused over it.
I kind of agree with you, Grace, too, because at first when he smiled or just kind of, you know, snickered, I wasn't sure what to take of that. I wasn't sure if he was happy for her. I wasn't sure if he was, ha, I taught you your lesson finally, just like you mentioned that he never thought that she was worthy of being there.
Worthy, but I think he didn't think she belonged there. That was not her place. Not that she wasn't worthy.
Right, because she was.
And he was finally like, just because she has an agenda and he knew that.
Oh,
and I think he was like,
wrong intention.
It's about time. I think that was what his little chuckle or smirk or whatever was about. He was like, it's about time you came around. But go ahead.
Oh, I think I felt that something could have been said. I was expecting him to come back with one of his enlightened speeches to her. But that was it. It was done. End scene.
A girl knows her name. You know, something like that. Yeah, no, I know. It was definitely, again, as we said, cryptic.
That was one of the cryptic scenes. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, since we're on the subject of Arya, and I don't know if this is going to pop up in one of your top threes, but whatever. How did you guys feel about the Waif being killed off screen?
I think it kind of had to be done.
Okay.
I mean, how are you going to show the fight in the dark?
In a dark? Yeah. Right.
No. Sounds. Just sounds.
I mean, do we need to hear her die?
No, I don't. Actually, that part didn't bother me at all. I'm just asking because I know this is one of those things people are a little upset with, that we do have two relatively major deaths in this episode, and both of them are off screen.
Yeah. Air quotes.
Well,
deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Air quotes deaths. Air I'm pretty quotes. Sure the Waif, we saw her
oh,
face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Waif is dead.
Yes.
I'm not other, so sure the about death, the black quotes. Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I guess I know where you guys are standing on that. Then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was totally fine with the Waif's death off screen. I think it fit. It I mean, if we could see her in the dark and they were fighting, I mean, then it would be like, well, why can't she kill Arya? You know, I don't know. It would have defeated
faceless
the purpose.
Men wear night vision goggles. Well, very cool. So yours was people coming to terms with who they are. Sandor and Arya. Very nice. I like that. My number three actually might sort of dovetail fairly nice with that, which is Brienne completing her mission with honor.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the way... I just love the way Brienne does business. That's really what it boils down to. I like that she went to Jaime. Here are two enemies, but they've worked together before. They're civil, they're cordial. You can see that painful kind of look of love that I do believe that she has towards him. That exchange with the sword I thought was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What I really liked about the exchange is he knew exactly what she was doing, but he let her do it.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Yeah. He let her take off that belt and present it to him. He didn't stop her. And until, you know, she went through with the gesture, and then, you know, he gave it back to her essentially. But yeah, it was beautifully done.
And the, and then her parlay with the Blackfish and the way that went down. But in the end, then when the Blackfish says to her, "You could serve Sansa Stark greater than I ever could," that was one of the rare moments in this episode. I felt a little tear well up in the eye where I'm like, that is noble. That is the definition of nobility right there is, you know, he understood his place and how, where he is better served. And ultimately that he recognizes her great strengths that she has.
And it's nice to see someone do that too.
It is. It was, and that's just it, is that the way she completed her mission was perfect. And Pod is ridiculously loyal to her. I loved everything about the two of them traveling together. Mm-hmm. I even really enjoyed the Bronn and Pod little ribbing going on. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I love Pod.
I will say the entire siege of River Run and everything, the way that went down, if we're talking about maybe being underwhelmed or maybe a little anticlimactic, that would most certainly be one of the bigger moments where I was like, really?
Yes.
This is how this is going to go down?
Insanely really? Anticlimactic. Yeah. But then part of me is going, well, sometimes that's just how things go.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know? And I mean, realistic I definitely hate
totally unclimactic. Go ahead.
Edmure is such a putz. I mean, but
hey, he's a practical guy.
But he's a practical. No, that's exactly where I was going. I understand the position. You know, Jamie made one hell of a compelling argument. Although I didn't really care for his argument about how, you know, but okay.
Fair but he enough, knows how know. To make a point.
He knows how to make a point. He most certainly does. He most certainly does. So, but that is my number three, Brienne completing her mission.
Nice.
Really awesome. I love that one.
Jen, what is your number two?
My number two kind of loops back to Grace's number three, which is Arya. And I had a tough one with this because at the same time, I thought it could have been my number one because it finally got her the F out of Braavos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it mirrored the Marine plot because it was just kind of like this stuck. She's stuck in Braavos. Tyrion's stuck in Marine. It was just like you just want them to move on and get somewhere already. But Arya, hashtag win for Arya. And I think what I loved about this scene, too, is the foot chase. I'm all about action.
Oh, yes.
So, and I love a good action scene. And it doesn't necessarily have to be full of swords and fighting. But this is kind of like a medieval version of a car chase, I guess.
For sure.
You know, just running through the streets and leaping off the walls and, you know, rolling down some stairs.
Oh, God, I hated that part. Oh, I was like, ow. Oh, God, rolling. You see the trail of blood. I know. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that looks so painful.
And what I loved about this and going back to the how it ended in the dark is, you know, as Arya was finding her way, I didn't know where she was going, and she kept leaving trails of blood. And at the end, I thought back. I'm like, she was leading the way.
Yeah,
to exactly. her hiding place.
Because right. at first I questioned that as well. I saw when she kept doing that, leaving these blood marks. I'm like, you know better than that. What are you doing? But it all made sense in the end.
But she wanted her to follow her. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. And it was funny because during the chase scene, you know, I looked over at Mr. Liu and I was like, does the wave not remind you of the Terminator, of the bad guy in the Terminator? Yes.
No, we said the same thing here at home, too. Yes. I'm like, oh my God, that's Robert Patrick in T2.
Right, Robert Patrick.
You know? and then, robot. Like, I see it popping up on Facebook, so everybody got that feel. And for some people, that was over the top. But for me, I was like, oh my God, she's a badass.
I love
She's a cyborg or whatever they were.
Fast.
I have to admit, I like the waif way more than I should have during that scene. I'm like, unfortunately,
I did too, because I have not been a fan of the waif. I mean, not a fan of the waif because of just the plot, but because of her character. She's one of those villains that you just, the tiny little jabs, it's like salt in the wound whenever she would just, you know, the fighting scenes between her and Arya with the sticks. It's just like, oh, so painful to watch. Mm-hmm. And,
But in the end, she was training Arya to kill her in the end, really.
So, yeah, and I think, right? Again, circling back to the scene where, you know, she Arya pulls out needle and just raises it up, and you're like, oh, I'm giving myself goosebumps just talking about it right now. And just that swoosh of the blade through the candle and it goes black. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I loved that.
I thought it was very well
done. Loved how that happened.
That was very well done. I really enjoyed that as well. And it was, the whole Terminator thing. It was fun. And one thing I really enjoyed, the camera work in this episode was different. And I liked that. And there was one scene in particular where Arya seems like she's catching her breath for a moment, but you see, and Arya is still in focus, but out of focus, you see her running on the rooftops, the wave.
Oh, suddenly coming. Terrifying. She was walking along the docks, or I think,
Yes. And we're sitting there watching that. I'm just like, oh shit, there she is. Oh God, no. You know, and then that happens. And there was another scene that mirrored that very well, or a very similar technique was used. And it involves Sandor Clegane as well, where those guys are standing, the Brotherhood was standing around. You know, after the one dude stuck his finger in the other guy's butt, and they're all standing around joking and laughing. But you see Sandor walking up behind him, and he's totally clueless that he's got him walking up. But the way it was filmed was just fantastic, and it gave this amazing sense of impending doom and danger. You know, and seeing the T2 waif up on the roof running like that, waif. Jumping down on her, was just like, oh fuck yeah, here we go, game on. You know, I really, really enjoyed it. So that's
incredible.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely one of the better aspects of this episode was that chase. And I like that, but medieval car chase.
Yeah, I get a kick out of that. Medieval version of car chase. And for the record, one of my biggest phobias is being chased. So I always sucked at, you know, games of tag as a kid. So I think this scene just kind of adds to that. I was literally just like sweating bullets during the scene. I felt like running myself.
I actually fractured my left shoulder during a game of tag. Yeah. Dog flipped me over. It was terrible. Grace, what is your number two?
Okay. My number two is sort of just a continuation of my number three, but just coming to terms who you are, but more of just being, this is like more of just being who you are and how they showed that. And you already touched on it in a big way, but just the exchange between Brienne and Jaime, and just the honest conversation between the two of them. And, you know, Brienne has this love for Jaime, but, you know, I think Jaime has such a respect for Brienne and just how it shows in just the talk at the end where she feels like she has to outright state exactly what's going on. You know, the honorable thing would be, you know, whatever, that they are going to be, you know, enemies. And the way that Jaime, you know, he knows that, he accepts it, he lets her say it. And, you know, he says, I hopefully will not come to that. And I mean, just to watch that, like you said, and the whole exchange was wonderful. But, you know, Brienne from the beginning to the end has been this person of honor. She has not changed. And I kind of feel the same way about Jaime, that Jaime really has not changed. We have learned more about Jaime kind of over the course of the series. But I really think he has not changed. You know, he has been kind of ruthless from the beginning, but he also has a side where he is going to make these choices to, you know, like you said, he's not a hero, but he's a little bit of a hero, that he's going to make things happen where maybe a lot less people are going to die. And whoever thinks that about him, you know, screw them. He will take that and own it as hard as it is. But I don't know. I think they're kind of the same, where they have always been the same characters, whether we knew it or not, as they were in the beginning. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing I need to say real quick is, as far as Jaime being a hero, here's the thing I love so much about him. And if you go back to that story that he told Brienne about how he saved King's Landing and basically the kingdom by killing Aerys, he is one of the greatest heroes, and he's an unsung hero because everybody thinks he's a monster.
Yeah, exactly.
For the fact, and they don't even know that he saved everybody's bacon because of that, you know? And that's part of what makes him such an intriguing character. And one last thing, Jen, I know you got something else to say, but oh my God, the moment he said the things we do for love,
mm-hmm.
a callback to that first episode. And I'm just like, oh yes. You know, that was so beautiful. This episode. So beautiful. I loved it. Jen, yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to mention the things we do for love is because my initial reaction was obviously he was referring to Cersei, but kind of deep down, I think he was also speaking of the love between himself and Brienne in a love more of like a friend, respectful kind of way, obviously.
What about their little wave at the end?
Yes. And it's just they have so much respect for each other. And when they did travel together, when Jaime was her prisoner, they consistently kept saving each other.
Mm-hmm. But they hated each other at first.
Yeah, yes, of course they hated each other at first. Yeah, they, you know, Brienne had to save him a few times because, you know, she had to keep him alive for Caitlin.
Well, it's like Arya and the Hound, same thing, right? There was a pure unadulterated hatred at the beginning of that relationship. And by the end, Arya grew to care and respect that. Right.
And he could have easily turned her in when Pod was roaring away in the boat, but he didn't.
I love that he looked over. I got there was a sense of looking over like,
does anybody see this?
Yeah, I hope nobody sees me totally. At her. You know?
Well, or yeah, he was, I think he was totally checking to make sure no one was else was around to see them escape. Not so much as the wave, but he wanted to make sure that they could be off safely.
Right.
I like that so much. Mm-hmm. I really did. I was like, I got the soft squishies inside on that one. I'm like, that made me happy.
Yeah.
I totally ship those two. Now I take it back.
You're not shipping really him with Cersei?
No, ew, God, no, come on. No, now that ship has changed. I do definitely want, of course, to see the Tormund Brienne thing happen because that's just right.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but I would like to see that. I'm a sucker.
I hope so.
They make great ginger babies.
Oh my God! Wasn't
giant
that?
Ginger babies.
They'd be giant. The babies would have beards.
I was just gonna say they'd come out with beards, even like females. That'd be awesome.
All right, Jen, are we on your number two or?
No,
you just did. You just gave your number two.
Now, aren't we?
No, my number two. My number two.
Oh, your number two. Sorry.
That's right. My number two. Cersei's defeat. I felt we just saw
possible defeat.
Well, I feel we just really saw one of the lowest points Cersei may have. I mean, the Walk of Shame last year was rough, but I think what we saw in this episode was, her arrogance really biting her in the ass in a huge way. And now this is a rough situation for her. And if all, first of all, her son is the one who gives the announcement about this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That they're no more trial by combat, that they're actually going to face a regular trial. But obviously that was the High Sparrow who made that rule. I think we can assume that because all she maybe had to do was to actually go and meet with him, but she didn't. And the mountain gives this huge display of force. And of course the High Sparrow is like, well, we can't beat that. There's no way we can beat that. So trial by combat, it's illegal now.
Right.
He can't win that way. He knows that. So all she had to do was to go chat with High Sparrow. But no.
But wasn't it awesome seeing Cersei be Cersei? I choose violence. That was awesome. That was almost my favorite quote in the whole.
No, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Talk about people just being who they are. That was Cersei being who she is. Yeah.
Going back to season one,
exactly.
That's how I always felt about Ned Stark. You know, I love Ned Stark as Ned Stark, but Ned Stark being Ned Stark made him lose his head. And Cersei being Cersei could very well cause her to lose her head.
I think she's going to be okay.
Something.
Yeah, something.
I don't know. That's she's in a bad position right now.
She is.
And,
and definitely heartbroken. I feel a little bit bad for her.
Yeah, it was kind of sad how she was slowly following him.
Oh.
You know, taking the tiny steps, just kind of like, please, wait, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is, I believe, one of the first places we even see Cersei in the series was there in the Red Keep by the Iron Throne in a very similar way. So it's kind of shocking to see and out such a relatively short period of time, you know, and even that whole little thing about, no, you can go sit with the other ladies.
Yeah,
you know,
in the gallery.
That she has gone from being queen to queen regent to, I mean, every step along the way, she has been demoted and demoted and demoted. Yeah,
and even the other women were shunning her. And, you know, I did feel that little bit of sympathy for Cersei, but God, I loved it when Kevin was like, there's going to be a royal announcement in the throne room.
Yeah.
At this very moment.
Yeah, no, that was, why was I not informed? So I was like, all right, I'll inform you now, pretty much. Yeah. But, you know, that also is another mirror to the notion of the title of the theme or title of this episode, the idea of no one.
Oh,
you know, we all think about that as Arya.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
But we have things like Cersei, who is now sort of a no one.
Ooh,
Sandor, who's still trying to figure out who he is, you know, as you very astutely pointed out, Grace, in your number three. And in many ways, he's a bit of a no one. You know, I think we have a lot of no ones in this episode. And Cersei, I think, has been demoted to that position.
Ooh.
What are your guys' thoughts on getting back to Cryptic?
Wait, no, that's going to be my number one.
Okay, in that case, I think we're at, Jen's number one right now.
Okay,
right?
Let's good. Do Jen's I'm number one. I'm glad you're going to talk about that, Grace, because anyway, I'm like, okay, we won't talk about it.
Nope.
Okay, so my number one, Danny. Danny crashes the joke party. I knew as soon
Buzz
as we
kill.
Heard that. Yes, the clattering on the roof, I knew. It was the dragon.
Sure.
And just seeing her walk in and that's all we get of her, it was just like, oh, I want more, please. But that was it. I mean, plain and simple, Danny shows up with the dragons. And not to skip ahead, but I think we kind of know what happens possibly. And I'm excited. I'm excited for that. But yeah, that was my, it was tough to pick my number one.
You know, I gotta say that may be my negative 10.
Really?
Because it was underwhelming?
That moment, not so much that it was underwhelming. It was. But it also, to me, when I saw that, I'm like, this is like a telenovela at this point. The way she came in, it this is just my personal, I'm not taking away that this is your number one. You loved it. For me personally, I'm like, that was the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in the show. Something about the way it was filmed, the way it looked. I have it in my notes, and actually what I wrote was, hated Danny's entrance, telenovela. That's what I wrote
down. Just
missing
the wind machine, I guess.
Exactly. If it had a wind machine, that would have made it that. I might have liked it a little more if they said, like, let's embrace this cheesy quality of this. But
I was thinking? I was like, when you see Drogon, like, is barely a shadow flying away, I was thinking, oh, yeah, obviously they saved the whole budget for next episode.
Right.
I
they
thought
spent
that
it all
well.
In the chase scene.
Do you think maybe at least Drogon like wiped out the master's fleet? I mean, I was kind of hoping maybe she would swoop down
because they need ships. So would he burn them or just a few, or is the Ironborn, what's her name, Yara, going to show up in time?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked the scene. I think it's because it was so simple. It was fast and quick. There wasn't any, you know, you expected more action after that from Danny, but there was nothing.
Yeah.
So
no,
there's more to come.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, and honestly, I think it's fine. I'm happy that she's back, and I think that'll be great. It was seriously just the way that scene played out. It was just for me.
It was aesthetics, I guess, for you.
It was just purely aesthetics. Where I'm just like, oh come on! Like the way they did that, I expect her to be like, "Hola, yo soy Daenerys," you know. I'm like, what's going on here? It just seems so bizarre. I did love seeing Drogon in the background behind her. You know, I did like that, but I was also like, you got a whole fleet. And somebody on Facebook said this as well, and I laughed because Mrs. Blog and I said, I turned to Mrs. Blog and said the same thing, that when we saw the fleet out there, and then all of a sudden the next time we see the fleet, like Marine is burning and they're hurling fireballs. And I did have this Ron Burgundy moment of just turning to Mrs. Blog and being like, well, that escalated quickly, you know, and she chuckled, and somebody on Facebook said the exact same
thing. Yes, and I didn't have
thing,
time to add that in. I apologize to whoever.
No, it's okay. I apologize to them. It made me really laugh, though, because I'm just like, wow, how did they go from the ships in the harbor to suddenly Marine is just burning like crazy? So I do hope Drogon is just like, burning everybody, you know.
But they need the ships. Cool. We got to get Danny back to Westeros because, God, I mean,
yeah.
And that's the thing I think about both Meereen and to a lesser extent Braavos. I felt like They have been sitting there, like
twiddling their thumbs,
just so the rest of everybody else could catch up. You know, it's just so the timeline can catch up in all the other places, and so they can re-enter almost. And but more so Marine than Braavos. But
Danny's never even. We've never once seen Danny in Westeros, so it's not even.
Will she even make it there at this point?
I don't know. Gosh.
She's ships.
So. Yeah, the end is going to be King Jon Snow in Westeros versus Queen Dany Targaryen in Essos, and it's going to be a battle across the Narrow Sea. Maybe that's the way it's all going to happen.
Battle of the Oses.
The Oses. I like that. And Jen, I apologize. It's your number one. You're all excited about it. And here I'm like crapping all over.
Everybody has their own opinion. That made me laugh. That's so funny. all I can see is, you know, Dany with her hair blowing in the wind.
Again, I am actually really happy she's back because now maybe we can get things rolling.
Yeah, we can get things moving out of Meereen, people.
Because we only have two more episodes left of this season. And
I don't think they're going to be touching on it next episode, but we'll see.
I don't think so either, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Grace, what is your number one?
Okay, my number one is Old Rumors and New Mysteries. And Qyburn there with, I lost his exact quote, but he and Cersei were talking about the old rumors, and there was much more. And so this is why I don't think Cersei, may be at the bottom, I don't think she is done yet.
Oh, no. I don't think she's truly done. But
She can't be.
Yeah. And so, I mean, are you guys thinking what I'm thinking as far as what the old rumors are?
Well, maybe. I'm curious what Jen might think.
Okay,
I think he's referring to... Okay, two things. Mainly, I think he's referring to Wildfire.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm on the same page.
Yeah. The stash of Wildfire mm-hmm. that maybe they either found more or... there was either more or they know exactly where it is. Something that has to do with Wildfire.
Sure.
Now, second... I'm still not happy or I'm not sure about what's going on with the Tyrells. I don't know. I feel like Lady Olenna's, when she decided that she was going to leave, when she was giving Cersei her 2 cents, I felt like that went too smoothly. And as far as rumors, I don't know. I think the word rumors that Qyburn used could also mean anything. But my main thought was Wildfire.
Grace, what was your thought on
that? Yeah, no, that's my exact thought. And I think more meant there were rumors that there was so much wildfire, but they found even more than that. But I do like Jen's thoughts on rumors and that there may be more than one rumor that he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was firmly, that was my thought as well. It's the wildfire and she's just going to burn them all.
Yeah.
You know, basically she's going the Mad King route, right? It's just like burn them all, fuck it, or at least the Sept, you know, at least kill the High Sparrow. I think that's, you know, she definitely has her eyes on
in all the Faith Militant.
You know, it's interesting too. I heard somebody today discussing Cersei finally just sort of embracing prophecy. Regarding all of her kids are going to die, and that she with the wildfire may just
burn Tommen.
It all. Tommen, Margaery, the High Sparrow, very much like the Mad King, burn them all.
Yeah, it's almost like if she can't have them, no one can.
Ooh,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
it. Just crazed. Just crazed.
It's a horribly dark sort of thing to think about, but. She's always been afraid of this prophecy her entire life. And as of now, two of her three children are dead. Mm-hmm. And you get that whole conversation with Jaime and Edmure about the love a mother has for their children, which made me really think about that. Like, oh, boy, you know, yes, she really loves Tommen, but having lived in fear of this prophecy for her entire life, who knows what she may do?
Well, and after doing what he just did, maybe he's dead to her already. I like that. That didn't even cross my mind that she'd burn Tommen too. I like it.
You know, and that's
Tommen.
Yeah, well, it was that broke my heart seeing Tommen do that. I mean, it really that made me really sad. I mean, yeah, Cersei may be a monster in her own way,
Well, just to see that he's so easily controlled was very difficult for me to watch.
Well, it's sad that his mother tried to control him and didn't do a good job. But Marjorie's done a pretty good job, and now the High Sparrow has done an even better job.
But the whole burn them all. But what's Marjorie has to come back into play now that we know that she really hasn't bought into the High Sparrow's rigmarole. That she's going to come back into play. So
Well, and then you start getting into, okay, let's say Tommen dies. Who then is next in line as king or queen?
Gendry!
Yeah. Well, now...
Where is Gendry?
He's still rowing out there.
I want to see Gendry again. Come on.
I would love to see. We're getting all these loose ends tied up in this season, actually. I think it would be a perfect place for him to show up, quite honestly. But that is not a legitimate heir. You know, that's the thing. When you get into all the Stones and, you know, all of the bastards out there.
And well, he's Robert more Baratheon legitimate than Tommen.
Yes, this is true. But really,
in a sense.
I am really asking a question, though, of who would be next in line after Tommen. And would that then usher in a new period of war, you know, of I don't know. It's in this... Again, maybe Duncan will talk about this in Still Smug, because there are some little book things as far as lineage and all these kinds of things as to who it could be. And this is a conversation I did have last week with somebody. The person who might actually be next in line would be a very strange one. So it's we'll see. I don't know. And I'm curious how that's going to play out. But where are we right now? I don't even know. That was your number one,
that
right?
That was my
Grace?
Number one, yes.
Okay, so number one.
My number one. We've really have already talked about it, so I'll make it very quick. Justice the Sandor Way. We already talked a lot about that. I do love seeing him again. I love that he is the same character we know and love. You know, cut off one dude's head, stick an axe up one dude's groin. I mean,
pulling off the boots of the other dude.
Pulling off the boots. Love that.
That was my favorite part, really.
That was great. But one of my favorite moments with this entire scene was Sandor. Seeing Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr again.
Yes!
I love those guys. I love the fact that they did not condone. You know, I was a little concerned last episode after the notion that the Brotherhood without banners would just kill all these, the Septon, and kill all these worshippers and destroy the Sept.
It was very disturbing.
I didn't like that. I did not like that at all. I knew that was Lem with the yellow cloak. I'm like, what the hell, dude? Come on. I like that Beric was having none of that and was going to hang these guys. I like the entire, I really adored that entire exchange between Beric and Sandor about, you know, negotiating about how many people he gets to kill, how he can kill them. And then previous to that, what was that great line? I think somebody mentions it in the letters, but I got to bring it up now. Something about, you know, you don't even die well. What was that?
You're not even good at dying.
That's it. You're not even good at dying. All of the dialogue in that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys come away from this that Sandor has now joined the Brotherhood without banners or not?
Probably. I assume he's going to go with them at least for a time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he did say he tried joining and joining doesn't work for him. So I don't know. Is he just going to like just hang out with them for a little bit? Is he going to? I can't buy him ever believing in R'hllor and all of that unless maybe something happens that might make him more of a believer. I don't know.
We'll see.
It did not happen in this episode. Although if it was going to, it would have been this episode. I'm not going to say anything more on that.
Oh, real quick. His quote was, "You're shit at dying. You know that."
That's it. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. That was amazing.
When
that was
so good. Before that was even good because he says, "Those are your last words. Fuck you." And the guy screams, "Cunt."
That's right.
He was really
actually had that in
dying.
My notes because I just loved that. Love that
scene.
Oh,
that's so funny. No, that was a great scene. I mean,
it's like you're laughing and cringing at the same time.
I know.
Yes. With all the violence. I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, ah! You know.
I think the actor's name is Rory McCann. Is that his name? I think that's Rory something. The guy who plays Sandor. I love that dude. He was even in, did you guys ever see Hot Fuzz?
No,
but I heard he was in that.
He's in that. Yeah, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, another one of those. It's one of the three Cornetto trilogy. It's actually a spoof of cop movies in the 80s.
Oh, funny.
Like buddy cop movies.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
So it's one of the three Cornetto trilogy parts. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and then...
Shaun of the Dead. Great movie.
And the, yes, it is. And then The World's End, I think.
Mm-hmm,
it's
yes.
been a while. But the second one, Hot Fuzz, he plays a guy who can only say one word, which is nop. Nop.
He's like the Hodor of that.
Yeah, he's the Hodor. Absolutely. He is the Hodor of Hot Fuzz. And he's great. I just, something about that actor, he is, and again, with that conversation with Barrick, he's like, you know, I killed, what do you say? Like, I've killed you once before, you know, all these jokes about the, but he was his captor and they had a very civil discussion. They're hanging out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, I liked that there's this understanding between these warriors, right?
It's a respect. Sure.
There's a respect. We do what we do because we have to for whatever reason. I love that whole thing. I beat you because I was better than you then, mm-hmm. and I'm still probably better than you now, you know? So the Hound is still cocky as all hell. He is still very much who he is, and I loved that. I really did. A character makes me so happy.
Yeah, I loved how... even though last episode he came back, we have the Hound back, but this episode we saw the Hound in action.
Yeah.
You know, just like you mentioned, the Hound is back and we saw the old Hound just slashing people and cussing people out. And I loved it.
Cunt. And it was also a nice little juxtaposition in this episode as well that, you know, we all want Clegane Bowl 2016. We want to see the Hound going up against the Mountain. But in this one episode, we get to see what the Mountain is even capable of right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is scary.
Which is scary, but we also get to see what Sandor is capable of. God damn, that's scary too.
Yes.
When he wants to, he's a brutal
son of a bitch. I'm not exactly sure what the odds would be on that one, that fight.
I'm not sure. I know. No, I'm not sure.
They're different. They're both different.
Well, the Mountain has the brute strength, but I think Sandor has the brain.
And
especially now.
He's a little faster on his feet.
I think so. Yes, very much so.
I haven't seen the Mountain move much, except for taking a couple steps and, you know, bashing someone's head into the wall. Oh, my God.
It was like this giant spiked mace going into his chest, and he's like, meh, and just rips the dude's head off. I'm like, oh my, that's pretty. And I got to say, thank you, HBO, for showing some restraint on the violence, because I'm glad I didn't have to see that.
Me too. I actually turned away the first time, and then the second time I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch it this time because I'm prepared. And they thankfully didn't show the whole entire thing.
No.
But I loved Lancel's and Cersei's reaction. Lancel's was great and Cersei's was just deadpan. And
she's just like, that's right, bitch. Yep. This is my guy.
Yeah,
that was great. I actually thought that was Lancel at first that was going to get the head. I was like, oh my God, no. And then I mean, not that I really care.
Well, I remember seeing that scene in the trailer from last week for this week's episode. And I had to pause it because I wanted to know who that was. And I knew going into it, it wasn't Lancel.
Nah.
Wow, I cheated.
You went to some, that's good. You did some homework. I like that. Okay, that rounds out our top threes. You guys have any notes that you want to bring up? Something that we missed?
Can I bring up one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, of course.
I thought when the Blackfish was reading the letter from Sansa, and he mentions she's exactly like her mother.
Mm, yeah.
Did either of you read into that?
Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the fact that Catelyn Stark was out trying to get people on their side and whatnot when she, you know, was with Rob at the Red Wedding. And now we have Sansa trying to gather their, the people of the North to support the Starks. I just felt it was almost one of those cryptic messages, you know, could we possibly lose Sansa at some point soon?
Oh
I assume that at every turn.
Oh yeah. You never know. But
no,
I
took that as that she had her mother's strength.
Okay.
That was kind of what I took to that, and sense of duty.
And I think, you know, reading that, he knew that was Sansa. He knew, because he was like, you know, I haven't seen her since she was a child. Basically, I wouldn't know her. And then he read that, and he was like, yeah, that is my sister's child. That is Sansa.
There we go. I like that explanation even better. Okay, another question. I've heard, again, something I read today hinted at this, and I don't buy it, quite frankly. Somebody believes that the letter last week that we saw Sansa sending off with a raven that we assume is going to Littlefinger about Veil, was it this letter? I don't think so. I think this is simply something Brienne had with her.
Yeah, I think it's a different letter because this seemed a very long letter. For the other I would have to go back and look, but for some reason I thought the other one was very short.
Yeah, wasn't it a thin scroll? You know, the usual.
Yeah.
You know, that's carried by a raven.
And that's kind of how I thought as well. That I'm like, nah, I think this is just one she gave to Brienne just to say, no, this is from us. You know, so I don't think that was it. But I was curious. I saw it pop up. So yeah, I agree with you guys. I think it was just one Brienne had. And
yeah, I think there are two different letters, but I don't know for certain.
She is prolific.
That she is.
I don't have any notes. Grace, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, my notes consist of one, and it's Podrick is hot. That's my only note that I have.
All right, and you gotta love the fact that Bronn, again, going back to the Bronn pod thing,
bringing up his magic cock.
Right.
Bringing up his magic cock was so fun. Have you shown it to her? You know, it's like, and I love that he's like, have you fucked her? Did you think Jamie's fucking her? I'd fuck her. Why? He's like, so
only Bronn
all
could
about
pull that off.
Yeah. Exactly. He can get away with that. Right. And then he even grabbed the magic cock, you know, which was kind of funny. I'm like, dude, that's awfully. Wow. Okay. I'd be a little pissed off.
No, but I love me some Podrick. So, and Bronn is always fun in his nasty, perverted way. And so I found the whole scene amusing. And you know, we need things to lighten it up, like the no joke or I made a joke thing.
No,
we need stuff. So that was great.
And Bronn is always good for those lighter moments.
He is. And
he's always good for those.
Anytime we get more Podrick is a little bit better for me, I think.
I did not know you had such feelings.
I know. You just don't remember from last season, I think. I've never hidden my love for Podrick.
Pod is hot. Grace said it.
All right. You know, on that note, Pod is hot with his magic cock. Okay, we'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You make me so hot. Make me want to drop. You're so ridiculous. I can barely stop. I can hardly breathe. You make me want to scream. You're so fabulous. You're so good to me. Okay, we're back, and it is now time to go ahead and dig into some news about Game of Thrones. Jen, please do us the honor.
Sure. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see. First story, HBO forgoes episode descriptions for Battle of the Bastards and the Winds of Winter. Wah, wah, sad trombone. which I don't blame them, actually. It's the last two episodes of the season, and I'm sure everybody's still, you know, wanting to know how it's going to end, what's going to happen. We have questions that still need to be answered. But they did release, HBO sent out a press release this morning detailing the production credits behind the final two episodes. And we know when they're going to be on, obviously, and who wrote them, obviously, and who directed them, which is Hardhome director Miguel Sapochnik.
Awesome.
Yeah, so hush, hush. We're going to have to wait to see what happens.
Well, what I find really, what's interesting about this, now, of course, the Battle of Two Bastards, that's almost, or the Battle of the Bastards.
That might as well be a synopsis.
Yeah.
That might as well be a synopsis. But what I'm fascinated by the Winds of Winter. Now.
Yes.
Now, Grace and I, as book readers, we know what that means.
Do tell.
Is winter here?
Well, no. That's the name of the sixth book.
Yes.
That has not come out yet.
That has not come out yet.
So that is definitely like, ooh, what does that mean? And we don't know. I mean, we all have our theories, but we don't know. And it's really exciting to think in 2 weeks we'll know. And I am thrilled that they're not giving it away. It's like,
yeah,
cool.
I think I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for next episode. Yeah, it obviously is the Battle of the Bastards. It's going to be Jon and Ramsay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on next week on Game of Thrones. Some people hate any sort of spoiler. No. I don't care. Some people do. So that's great. Yeah. So it's going to be, and it's the director of the guy who did Hardhome. So
yeah,
we know he knows how to do action.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And battles. Yes,
and battles. Yes, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yes, what's the next item, please?
Okay, bear with me. Newly discovered sea creature named after George R.R. Martin. According to Nerdist, Dr. Tim O'Hara has given the newly discovered creature the name of Ophihamus George Martini, naming it after a Song of Fire and Ice. I guess it's some sort of a new kind of brittle star that was discovered in the deep South Pacific. A brittle star is a kind of echinoderm, an umbrella term that includes sea urchins, sand dollars, and starfish.
Yeah. That's cool.
He's been memorialized in a starfish, George R. R. Martin.
It's really fun when you realize how many scientific names given to animal these days, especially are. I mean, there have always been a lot of honorific names given to various scientists. We're getting so many pop culture references popping up in these kinds of, like Leonard Nimoy has some animal named after him. There are all these people that are getting animals named after them now. And what an honor.
Martin actually, he was quoted by saying, "I'm a star," he wrote on his not a blog, "but I'm a brittle one, it seems. It is all very Lovecraftian, but I'm flattered and bemused."
Very cute.
Aww. Well, congratulations to George R.R. Martin and to the brittle star that bears his name. That's pretty damn cool. Well, thank you very much for those lovely news items. That's great. But now we cover the news items. Look over there. Sorry, I got to do the Ravens. I always have to. Okay, so we got a lot of, first we're going to go ahead and cover the feedback from our listeners on Facebook and before we move on to a couple of emails that we got. And then we're going to move on to a couple of voicemails. Jen?
Yes.
By all means, start us off on these Ravens calls.
All right. The first one is from Adrian Matonier. Sorry for butchering your name. Good episode as always, but I'm bummed they didn't show Arya kill the waif. I guess it would have looked cheesy trying to show a fight in pitch black darkness.
Olivia Deck says, another great episode. Absolutely loved the callback to season one with Tyrion's honeycomb and Jackass in a brothel story.
I want to know what that is. I really do.
Maybe in the end.
All right.
Google it. Maybe it's on Google.
The next one is from Erica N. Furter. And I got to say, just a quick side note here. Erica, seeing how my real first name is Eric and my last name does begin with an F. I really, every time I see your name, like, oh, what? Oh, that's not me. Ding dong, the waif is dead. Yay. That's in her email here. Another awesome episode in no particular order. One, wish they had shown the Blackfish and Arya's fights. Two, annoyed by Dany's kind of lame entrance. She and I are on the same page. Three, this show is so good. I'm rooting for Cersei. What the hell is going to happen to that trial? Four, Bronn and Pod, a little throwback to his magic cock. Five, loved the Hound's revenge and meeting up with Beric Dondarrion and the brothers. Six, wait, how long is this list going on? Six, and what kind of things did the little birds find out? Why are you leaving us hanging like that? And seven, Brienne's lip quiver.
Aww.
Very nice. Thank you, Erica.
Ashley Snellgrove says, anyone else get really strong Terminator vibes from that wave? Hell yeah.
Yes, all of us.
A little too much for me, but finally Arya has claimed her name and there's no turning back now.
Kristen Halberg says, I have a few questions with regards to Meereen. One, why didn't Drogon take out those ships in all his majesty? Or at least enough of them to get the fireballs to stop? And two, why are the other two dragons still locked away? I get that they are enchained, but shouldn't they still be set free like Drogon, or at least flying to get bigger and stronger? Do the Dothraki know where the meetup point is since she got dropped off? Will Yara and Theon sail in to save the city?
Okay, so if you're lost, the meetup point is here. Where the lost and found is for my lost Khalasar. Yeah, that's hilarious. I like that. Thank you so much, Kristen.
That was funny.
Next one here is from William Steiner. They don't want to burn those ships. They need them. Oh, I guess that's in response to Erica, maybe, as far as why Drogon didn't burn them up. And I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need them. That makes sense. What they need is some Ironborn to flank those ships from the rear. Also, some less obvious stuff I'm pondering over this week. if Cersei loses her trial, won't that call into question the legitimacy of her children? Oh, indeed. Tommen is screwing himself by going against her, and he doesn't even know it. But I think Kevin does, or at least he must suspect. Even though Kevin hates Cersei, he should be working with her to protect Tommen. Yeah, agreed. Last thing. Varys shows up as Dany disappears, takes off right before she comes back. A lot of people are going to think that he is the head harpy, and I think that's what the show wants. But I think his secret mission is something else, possibly something to do with his conversation with the Red Priestess. What did he hear in the flames?
Very nice. Jaime Gliciano. Arya Born. Yeah, like it. Like Jason Bourne. Yes, yes. Love it. Straight Impin is a better name for Tyrion's wine.
Love that.
Straight Impin. Yo.
Cersei and Margaery, beeswax wrestling to the death. Jaime would kick ass at the stinky butthole finger game.
Oh, dear God.
Yuck.
Wait, hold on. With his gold hand or the regular hand?
I think with a gold hand.
Yeah,
it'd be cold.
So.
It'd be a cold one. And lastly, the Hound! Exclamation point.
Very nice.
Okay. Is it my turn? Alicia?
Yeah, it is.
Ooh. Stout? No, the girl.
She's stout, I think.
I'm cheating. No, the girl is Arya Stark, and I'm going home. Mic drop. That was rad.
Agreed.
The Hound and the Mountain both have some pretty epic kills in this episode. Really hope we get to see them battle each other. But the royal announcement from King Tommen, who finally grew a spine, was no more trials by combat. So now what? I don't think he's grown a spine.
Wait.
He's just being controlled. He has someone else's hand up his little puppet self.
But yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly what I thought too. I'm like, he's got the High Sparrow making his mouth move. Yep. There's no spine there. Oh, sad little guy. Okay, our next one is here's from Victoria Meyer. I love to see Tyrion try to have a funny conversation with Grey Worm and Missandei. That was hilarious. I make joke.
Oh my God, did you just snort?
You got a snort, yeah!
I love that scene. Anyway, sorry.
No. Okay. Take the next one, please.
Okay, emails?
Yes.
From Lucy Hinney. It took Brienne and Pod how long to get 50 meters from the castle? It was bloody dawn, and the Blackfish had fought and died. Seven hells, they surely need a Gendry on that rowing team.
But Gendry can only row in circles, so that might not be helpful.
I'm super sad that Duncan's Arya speculation did not come to pass. Two awesome callbacks to first episode, Jaime, the things we/I do for love, and Cersei positioned in the gallery of the Great Hall as she is when we first see her and Jaime in episode one. Fuck you, the waif. Also fuck you. The completely arbitrary rules of the House of Black and White and fuck you scenes that end with a cryptic, oh, you scamp smile from Jaqen. Only not really because yay, Arya. That's it.
Thank you very much, Lucy. Appreciate that. And here we've got a couple of voicemail calls now we can listen to.
I'm sorry.
First one we have is from Greg from Virginia.
Hey, Jason, and whomever the rotating other guest speakers are. This is Greg from Virginia, back in the country from last few weeks. So I've managed to avoid a majority of spoilers. So I just caught up this morning, so I haven't listened to the rest of the podcast. But after the episode tonight, I enjoyed the entire episode, but just two of my favorite storylines. The recovery of Daenerys when the thump came down on the pyramid. I was immediately thinking either Drogon or the other two dragons that may have been released.
He's with you, Jen.
They couldn't release those dragons. I'm like, hey, hopefully you guys can take care of them. but then I was, after last week's, or I guess not necessarily last week's, but when I watched it this morning, I really wanted to know what happened with Arya, and I'm thrilled that she is coming back into her. I imagine that's going to
Indeed.
I guess, you know, the actress just did a great job as far as the waist goes. Really couldn't stand her character, and kind of like Jack Gleason and Joffrey, couldn't stand him either. But that's he did an amazing job at portraying just being a complete and utter bastard. But I was glad to see the waist head on the wall and facing the wall, and look forward to listening to the last 3 weeks of podcasts. All right, you guys have a good one. Look forward to hearing it.
Right on. Well, thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate that. I think we pretty much covered all of that, didn't we?
I'm glad he's with Jen with the whole Danny scene, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, our next one here is from Becky from Savannah.
Hey, y'all. It's Becky from Savannah. That was a good episode. Not as good as some of the recent ones that we've seen, but it was still really good. I do have to say I was a little disappointed in the whole Arya, no one, faceless men storyline, just because I heard about the theory that y'all had on, or that I can't remember who was talking about it on here, and then about the fact that it might not actually be Arya, it may have been another faceless man that was pretending to be Arya to test the wave. Although I am glad that the wave was dead, so big fuck you to wave. hopefully next week Ramsay will get a big
she gets no love.
It's a running theme. No, it's a running theme. Fuck you to everybody.
Thursday, maybe, Jamie, I don't know. But anyway, it was good overall, but like I said, I was a little disappointed with that, especially since we didn't actually get to see the fight. Like, I really wanted to see, like, the look on the wave's face whenever she realized that Arya had bested her, and to see, like, the smugness on Arya's face. But that's cool. Glad to see Danny come back. Hopefully that storyline will kind of pick up and move quicker now, because it seems to be moving pretty goddamn slow. And, man, the Hound and Bronn, like, give me an entire hour of listening to them talk. I was, like, howling laughing. I freaking love both of them. And I know that, like, your little opening line you picked for the podcast is probably going to be the whole, like, I'm not knowing I'm Arya Stark of Winterfell, but either do the one that's like, fuck you, really going to be your last words? Like, that was freaking hilarious. Like, I could listen to both of them. They're hilarious. I hope to see more of them, and I'm sure one of them probably can die in the next episode. So, if not both, so that'll suck. But anyway, good episode overall. I honestly have always kind of liked Cersei just because she's, like, so powerful and so strong-minded. I know she's, like, a crazy lady and doesn't care about anyone, but I always, like, kind of respected her character. But now I'm actually kind of excited to see her, like, just completely powerless. And you knew as soon as she got sent over to the side and Tommen started talking about Cersei's trial or whatever, that you knew he was about to say, and by the way, you can't do trial by combat, and she's, like, basically sitting herself over there inside. But, I hope Tommen dies, though, man. He's just, like, a little bitch, and I can't
stand it. Aw, poor
Tommen. Tell us how you feel.
Freaking awesome. I can't wait to watch it, and I really, really, really hope that
And she got cut off. So she did send in another voicemail that was much shorter, basically saying, oh, I got cut off and I'm a complete narcissist for talking so much. So she didn't really say anything else other than she loves the podcast and keep up doing what we're doing. So thank you so much, Becky. Really appreciated that. And thank you, Greg. That was a lot of fun. Do you guys have any responses to any of those?
No, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good.
No, Becky, that gave us all, I think, a good laugh. Chuckle I certainly there. Enjoyed that. Well, that wraps up all of the Ravens calls. Quite a few there. Appreciated everybody. But now we're going to go ahead and move on to next week on Game of Thrones. So if anybody is totally spoiler averse, skip forward to the end. But Jen?
Yeah. Next fill week us in. On Game of Thrones, season 6, episode 9, it is called Battle of the Bastards.
written by David Benioff and directed by Miguel Sapochnik, who, in addition to Game of Thrones episode Hard Home, is also known for his work on Repo Men and House. Synopsis? Who knows?
Yeah, none.
I'm guessing there's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Jen, I know you saw the trailer for next week. Grace, did you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Dude, it was so fucking awesome.
Yeah. And I can see why they have him back to do this one.
Yes.
Good choice. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It looks like the entire episode is going to be nothing but the battle for Winterfell. And I think I remember hearing, was there something like where John says something, it doesn't matter about our armies, it's about one of us has to die, or...
Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like he's telling...
Ramsay.
No, well, it sounds like he's telling the Red Witch, what's her name, Melisandre, yes, not to bring him back if he dies.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds like we get a little bit of that in there. But... I lost my train of thought.
We got volleys of arrows. We got amazing. Huge.
We got one
armies.
One.
One.
1-1 is just smooshing and smashing. I'm like, oh, yes, I can't wait.
And he is 1-1 the last giant?
As far as we know. I believe so.
As far as we know. Oh. I mean, I don't. I'm not sure. I mean, I think
I think he's touted as the last giant, but you never know.
He may not be the giant we want, but he's the giant HBO can afford. I think as far as HBO is concerned, yes, he's the only giant. There may be more out there, but he's the one fighting with us, and he's the one we care about. So, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes.
It's going to
make you very jealous that Jason and Harry get a chat about this next week. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Jen. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And that's it. We don't know any other information. They refuse to give any other information. I think the title is more than enough to tell us exactly what's going to happen on that. So I'm excited.
Indeed.
Hello, Septons and Salt Wives, Kingsmen and Abominations born of incest. It's your still smug book talk host, your leal man, Sir Duncan. I apologize for the Arya-style gut stab I'm about to give you, but this week's still smug section ended up being around an hour long, so we've decided to release it as its own episode instead of placing it here in an abridged form and cutting out material that you may have otherwise enjoyed. But, like Arya, I hope you'll recover from that stab to the gut quickly, comforted like you've had a nice drink of milk of the poppy in the knowledge that you're about to receive a full hour of book talk dropping on your Game of Microphones feed this week as another bonus episode. I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode of Game of Thrones and all the book crossovers and surprises that we got to experience. A whole lot more still smug book talk is coming your way soon.
All right. Are you guys ready to close out the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
I suppose.
Jen wants it to go on for more.
No, just kidding.
Sure. Anything else you want to say? Seriously, anything else you want to say about the episode?
I have some random fact that I came across when I was kind of trolling for stuff earlier today. Because that's what I do after I watch Game of Thrones.
Do tell.
Because I'm not a book reader. But I found out that the one guy from the Brotherhood Without Banners who got the thumb up the butt.
Yeah.
He is actually, he was on YouTube. He was found on YouTube doing Game of Thrones character impressions.
Oh,
and I guess
he was discovered that
someone
way?
Someone came across him and they said, let's put him on the show. Let's give him a character. How lucky is that guy?
Wow.
I know. How cool is that?
And he actually does them really good. I had to watch. So I can't remember his name, but it's pretty funny stuff.
And it's really cool that the show, you know, it's kind of George R.R. Martin has done similar things in the books where he's put friends in who lost a bet or won a bet or whatever it is. He's actually put friends of his into the books as well. So that almost keeps a tradition alive. I like that. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I know recently at a Walker Stalker Con, who was it? Joey Fatone of which boy band was he in?
NSYNC.
Jen with the knowledge.
I thought he was a Backstreet Boy.
No, I totally didn't.
Joey Fatone is in. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I was never once a teenage girl, but
Well, I was. I don't know. So
I have teenage girls, so or I did.
Oh, there you go.
They're grown now. But
Well, no, and oddly enough, like, the boy band thing is kind of making a resurgence. I mean, like, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, my girls know about them. I'm like, how do you know about them? Whatever. But anyway. Joey Fatone actually really wants to be on The Walking Dead, and I guess he made some big announcement on stage at a Walker Stalker con that he wants to be on The Walking Dead. So people want to be on these shows, and good for this YouTuber for getting onto the show and then promptly getting a finger. His butt.
Almost. So.
And his head
I don't think
off.
He actually did.
I don't know. The other dude sniffed
No,
it.
He was saying it was pretty close. Well, he got pretty close.
Okay. All right. Really? Should we close this show
yeah,
out
we
now?
We probably
we're
should.
Ending on a finger in the butt. Okay. Very good.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY.
And if you would like to write in, you can email us at gain@podcastica.com.
Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/GOM podcast. But honestly, just type in Game of Microphones in Facebook and it'll show up.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts in our growing network at podcastica.com.
And join us next week for our Game of Thrones Season 6 episode with Jason and Harry.
Indeed, but until then, that's our show. Thanks for listening. Ding dong, the waif is dead. Yay!